Hey guys, I'm so glad you're here. You're listening to the Efficiency Bee podcast, where we focus our time, money, and energy on all the right things to enjoy our bold, balanced, and blessed lives. I'm your host, Melissa Leone. I'm on a mission to redefine feminism and, dare I say, end it. You've heard of a busy bee, a honey bee, a queen bee? This is Efficiency Bee. Hey, 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 everyone. How's it going today? This is Melissa Leone, and I am your host of the Efficiency Bee podcast. You guys, I'm really excited to introduce you to my next guest. This woman and I have not met face-to-face, but we share something in common that I'm really proud to be part of. It's the National Association of Women Business Owners. It's abbreviated as NABO, N-A-W-B-O. And it's this really cool group that brings women together, women business owners together all over the country and help each other. And so my next guest, Jennifer Scott, and I met on Facebook on the NABO group. And she has such an awesome story of starting her business and offers such cool things to business owners. She is the owner, founder, CEO, chief people officer, probably more titles than that, of Higher Effect. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on.
It is my pleasure.
So why don't you start with a little introduction, like where do you come from? Where do you go? You know, all the stuff.
Well, I was born. No, just kidding. Okay. After a really interesting corporate career that spanned all sorts of kinds of recruiting, I decided to start my business in 2007, and really was focused then on helping founder-led, owner-led small businesses that didn't really have HR departments, learn how to hire for culture fit and core values. And that was a little bit before my time, I think. It was pre-Zappos and Southwest Airlines being famous for values and culture. Mm-hmm. And so I got a whole lot of, oh, that sounds great. Can you fill this job for me? So I did that for a long time, and we've evolved quite a bit since then. But that's kind of where I started after, a little not so fun, hey, it's time to get laid off corporate job.
Yeah. So how long did you spend in the corporate world?
Well, I started when I was four. So no, I was in corporate for about 15 years.
Okay.
And I've been doing this now for about 15 years.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I did the corporate thing a little over 15 as well. It seems to be the sweet spot for many entrepreneurs. I think it's the right amount, right? Because it's like you get great education in the corporate world, and there's a lot that you learn of what to do and what not to do and all of the things. But then
all of the things.
When you have that entrepreneurial spirit, it's hard to walk away from it. So what type of companies do you recruit for?
Well, we, like I said earlier, changed our business model. And so we do a lot more than recruiting these days, but we work specifically for founder-led or owner-led businesses. So, you know, owner of a franchise, second, third generation of a family-owned business, or we're still working with the founders of, small businesses. And we do everything behind the scenes as an outsourced business advisor, outsourced service provider. So we do bookkeeping, payroll, HR, and recruiting for whatever these clients need.
That's awesome. And how big are the companies that you're typically working with?
They're really pretty small for the most part. They're generally under 50 employees. And they could be one or two person operations, or they could be, you know, a 50 person operation. But the common thread is that they don't have their own accounting department or their own HR department or a dedicated recruiter or whatever it is that they come to us in need of.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's such a need for it. What do you see going on right now in the recruiting space? I'm just fascinated by the amount of people not working.
It's unbelievable.
voluntarily not working. It's
It is unbelievable. This is the worst job market I've seen in 30 years.
For the
And
employer,
I've,
right? Usually when
as
you
an,
say something like that, it's on the employee side, yeah?
so the job market tends to swing. It fluctuates. Sometimes it's a really good employer market. Sometimes it's a really good candidate market. Right now it's just bad on all sides. So there are jobs available. They're not necessarily jobs that are, that job seekers feel comfortable going back to right now. They might be in person, they might be in a retail environment, even in a virtual environment. There's a struggle with people working from home even. So, with kids still being out and not back in school yet. I mean, there's just a whole host of reasons for the job seeker not being ready. And on the employer side, we're frustrated with the rising cost of labor, minimum wage going up in a lot of cases, companies, bigger companies paying much more than a small business can afford to pay on a regular basis. And then we're dealing with the longer term extra unemployment, and we're dealing with having people get stimulus checks. I mean, all of this is really good in some on some levels and really not good on other levels, just depending on which side of the fence you're on.
It's so interesting. I mean, we watched people get laid off by the hundreds of thousands a year ago, right? And now try to match skill sets back up. And then like as a I mean, I've been reading all this about the she session, right? All the women that left the workforce voluntarily or not because they didn't know what was going to happen to their kids. You know, when the schools shut down, women were having to leave the workforce because somebody had to stay. Not all women, but by and large, a larger volume of women left the workforce, having to stay home with their kids. And now, what if schools don't open back up? I mean, they say they're going to, but what if they don't? And then you're in this panic again. And I
And this new Delta variant, and all the cases going up again. It's definitely a scary time out there, for some people, and others are like very sort of whatever about it, and then there are people who are like really freaked out about it, and there's no judgment. And it's just hard for employers to understand why applicants aren't willing to apply, like why people don't want to work, and then employers don't seem to understand, or job seekers don't. I'm getting this all mixed up. There's truth on both sides,
There really
and
is.
it is hard to come to a general consensus when there's so much uncertainty.
It's really interesting. My husband is a general manager of a golf course and a restaurant, and he lives with me, but his golf course is in a pretty remote location, about 45 minutes south of the greater Phoenix area. And a lot of there's not a lot of people who live out there. And so they've always struggled to find staff, but right now it's almost impossible. They're just going to war with the army they have every day and getting their butts kicked every day. And the patrons are not terribly kind, I'd say, because rightfully so. We're all frustrated when we have to stand in line at wherever we're standing in line because it's slow and oh man, it's
There's
just
only one cashier came into the grocery store this week or whatever. No, it is frustrating. And I also hear it from the job seeker point of view though, where they're not ready to be back in public because of COVID, or they don't know what's going to happen with their kid going back to school or not, and they might still need to be home. And some people are just holding out until there's more certainty, or they're getting the extra unemployment money and these stimulus checks, and they're very happy not working. There's some of those too, but that's not, I don't think, really the norm.
I don't think it is either. And I'm glad you said that because I hear it so often. People are like, oh, nobody wants to work because of the stimulus check. Like, no, I don't think that's it. I think that might be holding them
No.
over so that they're not starving, but I don't think that's the whole reason either.
Right. I mean, that's like saying that people who live on welfare or food stamps are choosing to do that.
Right.
And I, you know, I know that there's a stigma there, and it's just definitely not the case most of the time. You know, there's always going to be those few who try to game the system.
Take advantage,
but,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Not the majority of it. I hear you.
But since all of our clients are small business owners, right? Every single one of them, and they all have different struggles. You know, some are like overwhelmed with the 4,000 resumes they get for one job posting on Indeed. And, you know, out of 4,000 resumes, there might be two people who actually read the ad and are qualified.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have other people who literally just need someone to be breathing to get a job, and they can't get anyone to even apply. So there's really a huge dichotomy right now of problems out there, and nobody's got one answer. There isn't one answer that solves it all.
No, there really isn't. The only thing that seems to be true is that it's a problem on both sides for all markets and all industries. It's and across our country for sure. I really don't know about international markets, but I would assume that it's probably similar in many cases.
Yeah.
I don't think they had the stimulus money that we had, but
No, but they also don't have the level of vaccinations that we have.
True. Yeah.
So I'm dealing with, I was helping a client with recruiting out in Central and South America, and they're desperate for work. They want good jobs. And the fact that it might be a remote job is amazing, because, you know, they don't have the access to the healthcare or the vaccinations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these countries are still very much, you know, not first world.
Man, and like when you start thinking about if you're unhappy in your job today, there's a lot of positions that are available. So then people start leaving, and then the employer has to start being creative with how to keep the people that they already have too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just have this perpetual cycle of when does it solve?
Melissa, there's been a mass exodus of resignations across this country in the recent months.
Yeah.
Like just in the last 2 months. It's all over, you know, all the HR stuff is talking about all these resignations and mass exodus because, you know, now that there are other opportunities available and people are going back to work, if you didn't treat your employees, quote, properly during COVID, they're bailing.
Totally. Totally. I mean, I left.
And yet no one can hire anybody. Just go figure.
I left an amazing 16-year career with an organization that I have nothing but positive things to say about, but I left them last October 2020. So right in the middle of the pandemic, for another opportunity and to continue to grow my business. And I wanted to try something new. And, you know, those thoughts for me of leaving had started long before COVID, but COVID definitely accelerated it for me. And I think for a lot of people the same, you know, you've been maybe stuck in a rut for a while, and now you have this drive to go try something different and see what else is going on out there. I remember somebody saying to me, I can't believe you're leaving. There's no job security out there right now. Why would you go? And I was like, I don't know. Why not? Everybody's getting laid off anyway. I might as well give it a shot and try something different.
Yeah.
But it's pretty wild. I can't imagine being in the HR space right now. I just hang out in the accounting space and watch the profit margin of all these businesses go through the roof right now because they're making money, but they don't have any staff, which is of course the number one cost in most businesses.
Yeah.
And I mean, the clients that I have at 2 Cents Consulting are making a great deal of profit right now. Their staffs are burnt out because they're the only people doing the work, but.
Yeah. We're seeing it too on both sides. You know, there are some businesses that are just absolutely booming right now.
Yeah.
And you know, they're really trying to find people to come help them out. It's and I think another thing that's happened is that people started to realize during this whole pandemic situation, life is too short,
Yeah.
and so I think at this point, people don't need to stand for being burnt out.
Yep.
They want a work-life integration. They want to be able to enjoy their families and enjoy their personal time and enjoy, not be ashamed of self-care. At the same time, working towards a greater good or a higher purpose, or being driven by something other than I need more dollars per hour for
Yep.
this job.
You're totally right. Did you I noticed I saw last night that Simone Biles dropped out of the Olympics, and I heard today that it's mental health, that she's too stressed out. And I thought, good for you, kid. I mean, the whole world has their eyes on her. And I haven't looked at the specifics yet because it's 6 o'clock here and I've been working all day. But speaking of mental health, I'm just so impressed, right, that somebody would who's at that level, especially in the time that's going on in the world right now of mental health, and everybody's kind of at that next level, that she would take a step back and say, "Nope, I'm not mentally prepared to go into this." She's like the most fit human on the planet, and she's saying, "Nope, I gotta take a pause here." And I love that. I hope that she's, she must be really mentally unwell in order to not compete, just kind of knowing her competitive style. But I do
Yeah, I and
think.
I haven't heard this, but I guarantee you there will be the naysayers out there that, oh, she's just leaving because she's not gonna get gold, or she didn't get gold that first try, or whatever it was. People are mean.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right? No,
I wish that more people would start the conversation about self-care and mental health. If someone had cancer, God forbid, someone had, a broken leg, because at least that can be healed or fixed, like you're not going to tell them, oh, suck it up. Mental health is not different.
No.
And I know things started to get more public, especially after Robin Williams and that, it started to get more public, but there's still such a stigma. It's just sad.
I agree completely, and it's part of that whole recruitment effort that we were just talking about, right? I mean, if the employees, the candidates are not healthy mentally, you're not going to find the right people to work for you in an organization, and we just have a lot of work to do, I
We
think.
have a lot of work to
We have a lot of work to do in this country and elsewhere too. I mean, I definitely am aware that it's not a US only issue, but this is where we
No.
live, so this is kind of where I focus. But yeah, it's really interesting. So if you're listening to this podcast, it's July 27th, 2021, and if you listen to this in 6 months, we're going to sound like we don't know what we're talking about. But this is where we are today, right? I mean, things a year ago, we had no idea what the hell was going to be going on. No one could have guessed that this was about to happen.
No, that's
Some of
for
the weird
sure.
stuff, like I drive a minivan, Jennifer, because I've got 3 kids. So I just did a podcast the other day about being a minivan mom, and I'm going to end that phase of my life and buy a mid-size SUV. I know it's like a huge change, minivan to SUV, but I'm a dork and I want to change it. I can't get a car. The chip
No.
shortage is like bananas, and they can't keep cars on the lot.
Nope. Can't buy a used car, can't buy a new car. It's insane.
In what world do you pay over MSRP? And they want like 5 and 6, 10,000 over MSRP. I was like, no, I'm not
And
gonna.
I heard, honestly, people were renting like U-Hauls and, other kinds of like moving trucks or what have you because they couldn't get a rental car.
Crazy.
Because the rental car companies sold off most of their inventory at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, thinking
And
of
now that people are traveling again, they can't get a rental car.
oh my God.
Oh my good. No, you really could not make this stuff up, and
No,
we
you can't.
never could have imagined a year ago what was going to happen. I mean, I started just completely, not the same thing, but the same thing. I started the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program in January of 2020.
Really?
And amazing program, by the way. Holy cow, life changing, business changing, everything changing. But that's a different conversation. We started in person because, it was the beginning of January of 2020. Well, by February, we were in Zoom, and went from an in-person cohort to an online cohort, and we just had like our graduation ceremony a month ago because even though we graduated in March of 2020, what were they going to do? We were literally like not sure if people were going to be alive in a month.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy, absolutely crazy to have. And the schools had to do the same thing. Like, how do we switch from an in-person environment to an online environment?
Oh, yeah.
Businesses had to figure out how to go remote. I mean, it's, in some ways, I think if there's a silver lining, it's that people recognized they can be versatile. They don't have to do the same thing the same way. They can be successful trying something new. But there's no way we could have even begun to think about what this was going to do.
No, for sure not. And I think about like March 2020, my kids were on spring break and then never went back. Well, they
Yes, mine
tried to go
too.
back. They tried to go back, but it was garbage, right? I mean, not to the fault of the schools, but they didn't know how to go online suddenly. So the school my kids were at just said, there's 6 weeks of school left. You can go, but your kids are held harmless from not, but their grades are fine. We're not going to do anything to their grades. So we didn't do it. My kids didn't go to school after spring break 2020. I just opted out of the online stuff because my world was changing at work too. And
Yeah.
I remember having this kind of like uncomfortable tension between a friend of mine who was a first grade teacher at the time being frustrated that I wasn't going to continue with school. And I was like, I get your job is changing and you're teaching my kids, but like my job is changing too. And I can't teach my kids and change, but like it's
Right.
not gonna work. So
Yeah.
I can just recall this like uncomfortable like friction between everybody all the time for a long time. And now it's kind of a funnier, maybe not funny, but tolerable thing when I'm on the Zoom meeting and my kid walks in, half naked wanting chocolate milk or something, because
Right.
that's just what we've all gone through over the
Yeah.
last 18 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Crazy. I was asked the other day if I would speak about being a working mom through the pandemic, and I thought, yes, of course I will, but I also want, people who are single to speak up and tell us what it's like to be alone for the last 18 months and not be able to date or meet people, or for elder, like there's just so many different ways that we have all experienced this. And depending upon what part of the country or the world you live in, mine's shaken out pretty damn good. I mean, it's been stressful, but I still have a house and I'm not in an apartment with five people either.
Right. Very blessed. And so my husband and I work together. He joined our business in 2018, after retiring from his 23-year career with the same company. And he now works with me, which was the impetus, or not really, but it allowed us to completely change the business model that I mentioned way earlier. But we are very, very lucky. Because we both work from home. Our son is, well, was 14, is 15 years old. So he was in high school. works perfectly well virtually, enjoys, I mean, he's a total STEM kid, so like not being out playing sports was not a big deal for him.
Yeah.
We work from home and we work virtually anyway. We're completely set up for a tech forward. I mean, our whole business is based on you know, virtual technology. We were all set up for success, and it turns out that we were really good at social distancing and self-isolation anyway. The only thing I missed really was like being served at a restaurant, like being out on a patio with a nice glass of wine. But other than that, like, turns out we were pretty good at this.
Yeah, for sure. I missed the restaurant scene and the gym. I was pretty frustrated for a while with the whole like not being able to work out outside my home, because that was how I got outside of my home. But I too was like you, right? I already worked remote. I worked remote for 10 years. So it was not a new thing for me at all. But well, who knew this conversation was going to turn into pandemic?
Not me.
You know, sometimes we just need it, because this has been interesting. And I felt like we were going to go into the second half of this year feeling normal. I mean, Jennifer, I went to a Garth Brooks concert in Las Vegas with 80,000 people 3 weeks ago. Wow. And not a single person was wearing a mask.
Right.
My husband and I are both vaccinated, so, you know, I wasn't too worried about it, and neither of us got sick. But I probably should have been worried about it, given the way that the variant has come back up. And I wouldn't have gone. Had the concert been tomorrow, I wouldn't be going, just kind of knowing where the uptick is headed. But
a month ago, we did things that I don't know that I would do tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, they keep talking about it on the news. We're going in the wrong direction. Yeah, we really are. Mm-hmm. You know, I just this week and last week know 3 people personally, right here in my neighborhood, right here in our area, that tested positive.
Yep. I know. I only know one, but I know one, and I haven't known one in a while.
Yeah. It's crazy. It is crazy.
It really is. Okay.
And yes, we definitely took a left at Albuquerque, wrong turn at Albuquerque. I don't know how we got onto this conversation, but
you know,
I guess recruiting, you know what? I think recruiting has that effect on people.
It does. And it's like you start thinking about all the different scenarios that everybody's going through. And if you're a small business owner, you're either if you're a solopreneur, I can't say the word.
You got that. Solopreneur.
I couldn't get it out without making it like, anyway. You know, you may not see the struggle that others are going through, but if you have staff, if you have people that do the work with you, it's really painful. I have a restaurant client right now who just can't find enough people to work. So he's working 7 days a week, 15 hours behind the line, because no one else will cook. I mean,
We've got several of those. It's unbelievable. And that goes back to the job seekers not being ready to be back in public.
Yep.
It's a crazy loop for sure.
It is. And it'll be interesting to see. I cannot wait to see the documentary that, you know, comes out in about 10 years about this whole period of time that tells us about what was happening.
Yeah. I saw something so funny the other day that was something like, we're raising the generation, realize, right, the kids we're raising now, this country's going to be run by a bunch of homeschooled kids who were homeschooled by day drinkers.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, oh, that's just scary. Yeah, very true, I think, but scary.
It's done some interesting stuff to the kids. My kids are 6, 8, and 10. So they were, you know, had birthdays at the beginning of the pandemic. So, but my little guy started kindergarten this year in 2020. His very first year of school was online, and then in person, and then online, and then back to in person. And he just kind of we were just talking about it a few minutes ago because they go back to school next week. He was saying it feels like just when they went back online, like he doesn't really have a register yet that he's going to have a new teacher because he's never done the first grade thing before. They never had the end of the year. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't all the things that the rest of us know as the final end of the school year. They didn't have that because it was all online. So it didn't feel the same way.
But yeah. My son's going to deal with it now too. So he's going into 10th grade and he's never been, I mean, all the freshmen, like he didn't do freshman year at this high school.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's going to be a sophomore, not knowing a thing more than the ninth graders coming in.
Yeah. It's so funny, isn't it? I mean, all of the norms that we have known forever about school are going to be flipped for these kids. Or maybe not. Maybe they'll just keep on keeping on and it'll just have been a blip. I wondered the other day if my son would even remember this.
Doubtful.
He's only in kindergarten.
Yeah. Doubtful. I mean, I start to remember things like little things in first grade, kind of, sort of. Little tiny things in second grade. By third grade, I remember, but definitely not.
That's what I was thinking, except, you know, you can remember like stressful events. So I wonder how much of this year will have registered as that stressful event, or if it's just what he knew as normal and it wasn't a big deal. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see just kind of how each of the groups, age groups and class groups and parts of the world kind of recover from this and see how things move. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I am interested to keep studying it and keep learning about it. And hopefully the recruiting efforts will become a little bit easier in the coming months. And maybe as the holidays start to approach, people will be, more eager to get back into a normal rhythm of life and earn some money for the holidays. Maybe that'll be motivated.
I mean, you know, there's been so many questions. Some people are saying, well, when the kids get back to school, we'll see it, you know, we'll see an uptick. When it's not summer and people, you know, spending all their time outside, we'll see an uptick. It's just, we have no idea. It's
throwing darts at the wall.
I don't know who thinks they can predict what's going to happen with this, because like I said earlier, this is the worst job market I've seen both sides of the fence in 30 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Nobody has any idea what's going to happen next. And I don't think that, you know, as much as they want to say they can predict whether it's economic or job market or anything related to people, there's no way that we honestly can say we know what's going to happen tomorrow.
For sure. All the old stuff goes right out the window on this one.
Yep.
That's for sure. Okay, so I have a question that I ask all my guests.
Okay.
Do you have a morning routine? And if you do, what is the most important part of it?
Wow. I don't have a morning routine. Unless, you know, it's letting the dog out, getting a cup of coffee and sitting at my desk.
You just go straight to work?
I do. I really do. So I love my sleep. And so I tend to stay in bed as long as humanly possible.
Good for you.
I do. I'm guilty as charged. I guess part of it is working from home. So my morning routine, I can't start my day without brushing my teeth. But I don't think that really counts.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's days I don't get there. So it's like 10 o'clock and I'm like, oh, that's why I'm not feeling right. I haven't brushed my teeth yet.
Yeah. See, I might not make it into the shower, but I have to brush my teeth.
Yeah.
And I guess I have a little, you know, just like you get out of bed and God forbid you don't let the dog out immediately. So that happens.
Right.
But no, I really just start work right away. I have a lot of energy for work in the morning.
Yeah.
And so I tend to be very much more productive in the morning than I am by like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's awesome. We all have our rhythms on that. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, Jennifer, tell us where we can find you. The website of your business would be great. And any contact information that you'd like to share.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's Hire Effect, and it's H-I-R-E, like hiring, effectively hiring, H-I-R-E-E-F-F-E-C-T.com. And I'm all over social. So whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, feel free to connect. I would love to meet anyone who is an Efficiency Bee fan. Because that's totally, Melissa, you know, I like bonded over that with you immediately. Yeah. I was like, I love it. Any small business owners, especially women business owners, any Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses alum, and any Efficiency Bee fans, feel free to reach out. I would love to chat with you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And I'll make sure to put your website in the show notes. And I really thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an interesting and fun conversation.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, guys, that wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening. Keep spreading that EB love, and remember to find me on Facebook at Efficiency Bee. Until we meet again, be bold, be balanced, and stay blessed. See ya.